As we start, I just want to acknowledge that a lot of the resources for this talk has actually come from a friend and colleague, Alex Absalom, who was at Sheffield, now working out of Rivertree in Ohio. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would come and still our hearts, that in that stillness we would hear your voice whispering to us. Amen. For those that weren't with us for the first talk, just briefly, last time we had a look at this Ephesians passage, starting from the beginning of chapter 4. We looked at the unity of the church that Paul was so passionate about, and it went on to look at the maturity and the body as Paul designed us to grow to be a mature body. And the bit in the middle where he speaks about five gifts that he has given to the church, the gift of apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers, so that we can reach maturity. The other thing that we talked about last week is that these gifts are given to each one of us. A common understanding has been that these gifts are just leadership gifts, and I believe that that is because of the worldview that we come from, where we are used to having a leader up front with the rest of us congregating, sitting on our bottoms, and that is our vision of church. That is not a New Testament vision of church. And unless we have these five gifts operating, we will not reach the maturity that Paul was talking about. And so basically what we're saying is that God has designed us to serve Jesus 24/7, every moment of our lives. He's designed us with a purpose so that his kingdom can be extended. And last time we looked at, just very quickly went through the five gifts and what they look like. The apostle brings change and innovation. The prophet hears and shares the heart of God. The evangelist brings and shares the good news. The shepherd is a nurturing gift, caring and protecting, and the teacher grasps and applies truth. So briefly we could say the apostle extends, the prophet discerns, the evangelist recruits, the shepherd nurtures, and the teacher explains. And just I'll explain to you there why we're using the word shepherd and not pastor. In the scriptures, the Greek word that is translated pastor in the reading we had today, that's the only time it is actually translated pastor. Every other time it is used, it is translated shepherd. So we're using the word shepherd. Also in our culture, when we talk about the word pastor, we actually in our mind have a picture of church leadership, and that's not what Paul's talking about here. So we're going to use that word shepherd for the nurturing gift. Now today we're looking especially at the apostle and the prophet. So they are the two that we probably know the least about. In fact, they're not very glamorous. Now, one of the things that's happened in recent time as God has been bringing back these gifts into the church is that naturally we don't get it right the first time, and some people have started calling themselves Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter or whatever, and that is not what God intends. Some people have made out to be an apostle as something very important. Well, all the gifts are important, but it's no means more important than any of the others. And in the scripture we hear about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, because something's the foundation, it doesn't mean it's more important, it just means it comes first, like when you're building a house. The foundation is no more or less important than any other part of the house. It's just that it needs to be constructed first. And if you really want to be important, if you think about where foundations are usually built, they're down in the mud usually, and as soon as the building gets put on top, no one actually takes much notice of the foundations, do they? So in a way, that's a bit of a picture of the gifts of the apostle and the prophets. Very important, mostly neglected, but definitely we need to understand it so we can start operating and recognising these gifts as God gives them to us. Now, if you just have a quick look there at the symbol we're using for the apostle, you can see the apostle's in a hurry. He's moving out. It's quite a good picture, I think. So when we come to look at an apostle, we think, well, where does this come from? Where does the word come from? The word apostle is just from the Greek word meaning one who is sent or a messenger. It's not actually specifically a biblical term. It's a normal word that Paul used that just means a messenger. So if you're someone important and you sent out a messenger, you'd be sending out what we call an apostle. So apostles are visionary and pioneering. They're good at establishing new things. In fact, they love establishing new things, whether it's a church or a business or some other kind of kingdom initiative. They are excellent at gaining a breakthrough when things have got stuck. No one can see how to move forward from here. The apostle will have a way of being able to do that. But also, these gifts are not just doing gifts, they're also equipping of others. So an apostle will also provoke others to start seeking vision and wanting to start new things. Now you'll know that you've actually been around an apostle if you start thinking that change could be a good thing, because you know in the church how much we like change. You might even think that it's something you should buy into. And this is part of the gift that the apostles will bring to the church. If we don't have them, we'll never actually do anything new. So put it another way, apostles extend the kingdom of God and the church, often through church planting, but also there's another way they do that, and that is by renewing the existing structures and systems so that they work better. They have lots of ideas and they love change. They guard the DNA. They're able to get to the bottom of what's really important and make sure that that is kept. They're very keen on strategy and making sure there's a really good foundation. Especially those that go out and start new work are often able to work well in the other gifts as well, because if they're on their own, they actually need to operate in the other gifts. But what they're also good at is actually raising up and releasing the other gifts. They don't like staying on their own. They like to get other people involved in ministry. So you know you've been around an apostle if you're actually starting to think, oh, I could do this. And you'll leave them stirred up with new ideas, fresh vision, and you'll just see new possibilities of the way things could be improved. Now, we want to know who's the model apostle, don't we? You know who it might be? Jesus. Jesus is the sent one. God sent his son into the world. We know that well. Jesus, our apostle and high priest from Hebrews. And of course, when we think of scripture, the apostle we think of first is Paul. And if you look at Paul, he was always going out to new places with the gospel. But he didn't just leave them to it. He returned to see how they were doing. And he even wrote to the churches, sorted them out if they needed it, or just encouraged them. But importantly, he put structures in place that were sustainable and reproducible. He didn't have to stay there for it to keep working. So an apostle brings to the organisation this ability to spot how things can be structured, shaped and developed so that you'll have lasting fruit. Apostles were very much needed in the early church, but they're also very much needed today. Now it's important that we understand that we're not talking about the 12 apostles. Jesus' 12 disciples filled a very specific role, but if you actually look at the scripture, you'll see at least 12 other apostles mentioned, and it's this broader role of the apostolic that we're looking at today that will actually extend Christianity into new places, and it will also generate and sustain a change. Apostles act like catalysts, they get things going, and that's what we need today. Now, in Jesus' time, the apostles all spent time with him physically, except Paul, who of course had a real encounter with him. So an apostle, first and foremost, must be with Jesus. Now, today we can't be with Jesus physically, but apostles need to spend a lot of time in their prayer closets with Jesus. And it's in that place that they'll have revelation from God, that they'll then come and preach, so they can release that new thing for the rest of us. God will show them how to start the new thing. The other thing about apostles, they're very much engaged in spiritual warfare. And this is especially if you're going into new territories where the gospel is not there or where the gospel has been lost. So one of the markers of an apostle is also spiritual authority. This is not something that man can appoint, but it's a God appointment. So, what do apostles enjoy? They enjoy change, seeing possibilities in others, strategizing, seeing breakthroughs so we can move forward, challenging the status quo, dreaming dreams, but not just dreaming them, making them happen. Remember, they're action people. So an apostle could be dreaming, initiating, exciting, envisioning, challenging, changing things. It could have also put building in there. Now, every gift has a growth area. And a very important one for an apostle was actually patience. Lord, grant me patience, but please hurry. That's what we might hear an apostle say. But remember, God gifts us for a whole of our life. He doesn't just gift us for an hour a week at worship. So the apostolic gift can be seen in entrepreneurs, explorers, innovative business people, people who start up things, people who transform any situation that's got stuck, those who spot hidden talent. So, if you're an apostle, cultivate patience. You need people to come behind you who are going to develop the new ground that you've taken. So learn to appreciate and honour them. Apostles are often at the sharp end of a lot of criticism and conflict. So the temptation when that happens is to back off. But apostles need to remember that God's called them for these tasks. They need to keep going. Apostles also need to realize that the desire for change and innovation is unusual, but it's part of how they've been wired, and God has designed them for his purposes. But above all, everything must happen through a relationship with Jesus. The closer the apostle is to Jesus, the clearer the calling and the stronger the spiritual authority. Whoops. All of the gifts have pitfalls. And sometimes we can recognize ourselves from the pitfalls. For the apostle who has lots and lots of good ideas, not all of them are God's ideas. So apostle needs to discern between good ideas and God's idea. Apostles can be terrible at completing things because they love new things. And if something new comes along before the last thing's finished, they'll be off on the new thing. Not appreciating those who settle and build, especially the shepherd and teacher giftings. Using people of a means to an end, they can be quite task orientated. Sometimes need people around them to remember that people need to be treated as people. So, let's have a look at the prophet. Sorry, one more thing here. Last time we talked about the mountain. If an apostle sees a mountain that he hasn't climbed before, he will say, "Let's go climb the mountain." No time to think. Right, prophets. You can see how the picture for prophets different. Prophets love to hear God and will spend a lot of time in the closet wanting to know what God is saying, and then they move out with what God has shown them. Hence the picture. Prophets often understand the times that we live in and what we should do. They'll look at the news, look at what's happening around the world, and get God's perspective of it. They have a gift of being able to stand back from what's happening around them and seeing a creative solution to it. Put another way, prophets feel the heart of God for people, and especially situations that are broken. They love the poor, the vulnerable. They're concerned about how we handle power and how we treat God's creation. They challenge us to see things from another perspective, from a God perspective. They are questioners and reformers, and this can be very annoying. to those of us that don't want to be questioned. They're often loners, and part of that is because they love to spend time with God. They don't need a lot of people around them often. They're constantly asking us if we've actually listened to God or for God's perspective on it. Very passionate about truth, justice, and prayer. So you know you've been with a prophet if you start thinking, what's God got to say about this? And you leave them stirred up, thinking, I must spend more time in prayer. I must follow God's call, even if it's going to be costly. And of course, our perfect model for a prophet is Jesus, the ultimate revelation of God. Jesus made prophetic announcements about what was going to happen towards the end of his life. He prophesied his own future, didn't he? He also fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. And the story of the woman in the well, he actually read her heart. Prophets enjoy being alone with God, waiting on God, listening to God, seeing new possibilities, bringing encouragement to other people, seeing wrongs righted. And we could describe a prophet as waiting, retreating, seeking God's heart, challenging, confronting, discerning. And as we look for a biblical example, this one. Agabus. In Acts, he actually prophesied there was going to be a famine, so the church responded. He also prophesied to Paul that he was going to be arrested. And the reason wasn't to stop Paul going ahead, to put fear into him, but the reason was so that when it happened, Paul knew that God was in this and he knew what was happening, so he could go forward with courage. Growth area for prophets is accountability. Because prophets spend a lot of time alone, sometimes they can be tempted to stay in that place. But prophets need to know to release their word to the body to be tested. If you can't read the words there, it says, I'm glad the hole's not at our end. Prophets in everyday life. Visionaries. People who are focused on the future more than the present. People who campaign for unpopular causes, especially justice issues. Often creative. A lot of artists are actually prophetic people. And I've noticed, looking in some artwork, how they pick up what God's actually saying. Even if they're not Christians, they can pick up a bit of what God's saying, and it actually is showing in their artwork. Pitfalls for a prophet. The main one is being unaccountable and isolated, being harsh and judgmental. And a lot of the harshness for the prophets, it's sad to say, comes from the way they get treated. Because they get rejected, and the word God gives them gets rejected so much, it is very easy for a prophet to be harsh and judgmental. But a prophet needs to have their heart healed so that they can offer what God has given them and is with a heart of love. And the last one we've talked about, not releasing a prophetic word once it's delivered. God only asks us to receive it if we're prophets and deliver it, and it's for the body to decide what to do with it. Now, as the apostle approached the mountain, he said, let's climb the mountain. The prophet will be saying, hang on a minute, don't rush ahead, make sure it's the right mountain. So your apostles and your prophets, they dance to a different tune, but they actually need each other. They don't always get on, but they both need each other. So if you're a prophet, if you recognize yourself, see if you can find a more mature prophet that you can learn from. Allow God to heal your heart. Cultivate accountability in your life so you can share what you have received with love and grace. Realize that you can hear God with greater clarity than the rest of us. It's part of how you've been wired. So while you may be misunderstood at times, God has designed you to help draw people closer to his heart. And again, everything must be done out of a relationship with Jesus. The closer the prophet is to Jesus, the clearer the calling, the stronger the spiritual authority. So let's pray for those people now. Father, we lift the apostles before you. Lord, you've given them a hard task. We ask that you would stir up their gifts, that you'd encourage them, that you'd help them to be patient, that you'd give them a tenacity to hold in there. And Father, we pray for the prophets. We ask that you would stir up the gift within them. We ask that you would heal their hearts. We ask that you'd release revelation to them, that you'd give them great clarity in hearing your voice. Give them boldness and discernment. Help them to cultivate that accountability. For Father, when we know that it's only when these gifts are operating correctly in your body that we could grow up to be the body of Christ that you designed us to be. Amen.